Rusty Quill presents The Magnus Archives. Episode 52, Exceptional Risk.
Statement of Philip Brown regarding his time working at HMP Wakefield between 1990 and 2002. Original statement given April 9th, 2004. Audio recording by Jonathan Sims, head archivist of the Magnus Institute, London. Statement begins. How much do you know about the prison service? Not much, I'd bet. Maybe you've seen a few prison movies. Think you know a bit about how it is in there. You've got to keep face and watch your back, right? After all, you never know who's got a shiv with your name on it. Well, for a start, you're probably thinking of American movies about American prisons, and I can't speak to that. Maybe it is non-stop gang warfare over there, but in my experience, the biggest danger in a prison is, and always will be, boredom. I say that like it's some glib observation, but we work hard to keep it as boring as possible. The first hint of violence among the inmates gets smacked down. I worked as a prison officer in Her Majesty's Prison Wakefield, or the Monster Mansion, as the press insists on calling it. It houses the real scum of this country. Class A dangers the lot of them, and it was always a point of pride to me that we kept that place quiet. I mean, I say it like I had any real power, but I was just a grunt, keeping an eye on a cage full of wild animals. I won't even pretend I was proportional in my use of force. I mean, prison inspectorate have been over that with me already, but the sort of things you have to have done to end up in Wakefield. Well, let's just say the suicide attempts far outnumbered the murder attempts, and I never lost any sleep over that fact, nor did any of the inmates. I made sure of that. After lockup at 7 p.m. sharp, I made a point of keeping my wing dark and quiet. It helped that they were single cells, of course. No worries about conversation or violence between cellmates. But even then I was careful to make it very clear that drawing my attention after lights out was something they would regret. I'll admit, I was a real bastard when I worked there. Sometimes you need a bastard to keep an eye on the monsters. And back then, I really thought that the murderous filth we were looking after were the closest thing this world had to real monsters. I was wrong, of course. I'd been working there for almost 5 years when Robert Montauk came to us. Now don't get me wrong, we've had plenty of celebrity criminals pass through Wakefield over the years, but I can't say it didn't give me a slight chill to know that we were going to be keeping watch over the most prolific British serial killer of all time. I mean, he killed 40 people. That's a ridiculous number. I mean, maybe in America, where you have so many places to hide, but his nearest competition in this country barely reached half that. And he used to be a policeman. All told, you have the ingredients for a cocktail of posturing, unrest and violence among certain quarters of the inmates. He wouldn't normally have gone to Wakefield, as his crimes had no sexual element to them, but we were the only ones that had space for a prisoner needing that level of security and scrutiny. He was a big guy. I wasn't expecting that, to be honest. Usually with that kind of prisoner, they've got a you'd-never-know-to-look-at-them sort of feeling, but Montauk looked like a killer. He must have been almost 6'6" and built like a barge. His dark hair was cropped close to his scalp, showing off a flat, angular face. Not to put too fine a point on it, but the man was terrifying. When he entered the rec room for the first time, I could almost hear the deflating egos as a dozen would-be hoodlums thought better of trying to make a reputation by standing up to Robert Montauk. Of course, there's always one. And in this case, it was Ivan Ilic, an aspiring Serbian gangster, who decided to go after him, jumping him from the side. Me and the other warders had been waiting for something like this, but we were too slow to get there in time. Well, maybe we could have gone faster. But 40 murders. Sometimes you want to look at what you're up against. Illich was not a small man and nearly matched Montauk in height, if not in weight. But there was an energy to Montauk, a tightness, like a rubber band about to snap. Illich leapt forward with a shout and delivered a solid punch right into the other man's kidneys, but it was as though he'd hit the pressure pad on a bear trap. With terrifying speed, the hand snapped round, gripping the Serbian's right arm. There was a half moment of complete silence as everyone seemed to be holding their breath to see what Robert Montauk did next. He brought his hands around with a violent twist, cleanly dislocating his assailant's arm with a nasty pop, and replacing the silence with a scream and a string of Slavic curse words. At this point, me and the other screws broke it up. I got the unenviable task of taking the still cursing Ivan Illich down to get his arm treated. I didn't see Montauk again for some time. After that little incident, he was immediately transferred over to F Block, where he wasn't going to be a danger to anyone but himself. I'd occasionally hear rumors about him filtering through the other inmates, and there wasn't a spooky story in Wakefield that didn't have him at the center of it. Barely a week went by without some loudmouthed nobody spreading word that he'd killed a guard, or escaped, or been found dead in his cell with his heart ripped out. It was never true, of course, not at that point. I think most of it came from Dave Harrington on F-Wing. He always loved to drop fake gossip on new inmates, and the old hands knew not to trust a word he said. It was 1998, when... Hello?
Hey, I just wanted...
Oh, hold on. Sorry, can't be too careful. I accidentally mentioned you on one of my earlier official recordings and had to go back over it.
Oh, sure. I've got another tape for you.
Fantastic. Here's the other one.
Was there anything on it?
Oh, very much so. A Russian circus that... Nothing relevant to Gertrude's murder, if that's what you mean.
It is what I mean.
Right, sorry. Have you had a chance to listen to any of them yourself?
Well, the precinct has exactly one tape player, and it exploded when I tried to put batteries in it. I've put in a requisition for a new one, but that's lost somewhere in the Met, and I haven't had a chance to chase it up, so no.
Well, if you keep bringing them to me...
It's better than nothing, yeah. Anyway, I thought you could try this one next.
Alexandria?
Hey, at least this one actually has a label. I figured you're probably into old libraries and stuff,
No, you're right. Thank you, Basara. Honestly.
Yeah. Oh, what's the name of that helper of yours?
Martin.
No, the hot one. He has scars like you, but kind of manages to pull them off.
Yes, Tim.
Yeah, what's his deal? He gave me the weirdest grin when I came in just now, and like, a thumbs up.
I wouldn't worry about it.
No?
He thinks we're sort of together.
Oh, no. You know I'm
not. No, I know. I mean, either he just got it in his head.
I mean, you're nice and all.
Yes, I feel the same way.
Right. I mean, I suppose it's better he think that.
I won't tell if you won't.
Right. I'm gonna go, then.
Yes. Right. Statement resumes. It was in 1998 that I next came into regular contact with Robert Montauk. The government had commissioned the construction of close supervision centres in prisons all over the country, and Wakefield was one of the flagship initiatives. A good portion of F-Wing was given over to our own CSC, soon to be known as the Exceptional Risk Unit. It could only hold 8 prisoners, but they were to be the worst of the worst, kept under constant scrutiny and given no chance to harm anyone. I was picked to be one of the officers transferred into the new unit. I don't know if it was specifically because I had more inmate altercations on my record than any other prison officer at Wakefield, but given the intensity of the setup, I'm sure it didn't hurt my application. Robert Montauk was an obvious choice for the Exceptional Risk Unit. During his time in Wakefield, he had been involved in several further violent incidents, and though he hadn't yet killed anyone inside the prison, the higher-ups reckoned it was only a matter of time. So in he went. The CSC was not a nice place. Wakefield had had the budget to make it secure, but not to make it anything less than starkly utilitarian. The individual cells were cramped and claustrophobic, with almost no natural light filtering in from the outside. Oh, they still got their exercise, but it was in bare metal cages. We kept them separated from each other almost as much as we kept them from the rest of the prison, You must never underestimate how violent and desperate a trapped animal can become. We were cruel to them. I'm not ashamed of that. If I were to tell you all the crimes of those monsters we kept in the ERU, you'd probably lose your lunch before I was halfway through the list. Keeping them beat down was the only way to make sure they behaved. And besides, atonement is important. I'll admit, though, I always had a soft spot for Robert Montauk. He never gave us any trouble. Away from the other prisoners, he seemed docile, almost eerily so sometimes. Also, and it's a small thing, but he never denied his crimes. Wakefield is one of those prisons where everyone is innocent, and it gets so dull to hear their whining protestations day after day. Anyone who fully owned their crimes always went up in my estimation. I mean, we still beat him down on occasion, but not as bad as the others. After a year or two, I kind of started to forget who he was, you know? The mystique of being Britain's most successful serial killer just didn't hold up. When you have someone in your power like that, you forget any respect you might have had for them. And he never gave us any trouble. In 2001, he started to get visitors. His daughter, mostly. Given that she hadn't visited before, I'd guess she just turned 18. You get that a lot. Unaccompanied visits aren't allowed under that age, and plenty of inmates have kids living with overprotective guardians who refuse to take them, so I assumed she was similar. The visitor rooms in the main prison are quite nice. Not so much in the exceptional risk unit. A dark, bare room, like all of them, cut down the middle with a reinforced window. There were plenty of lights in there, but somehow it always seemed gloomy. I was on observation for a few of their father-daughter visits. She would talk about her life like her dad wasn't a murderer. He would lie about how it wasn't too bad in the prison. It was all very touching, I'm sure. Aside from his daughter, there was only one other time that he had a visitor. It was 6 months before he died, late March 2002. He was an older guy, I'd guess late 50s, wearing a well-tailored black suit and an expression of disgust. When I brought Montauk in, his face fell, and he went very pale. I'd helped folks beat Robert Montauk a dozen times or more, but I had never seen him look scared. He sat down opposite the old man, and they looked each other in the eye through the thick glass. I think the visitor might have been blind. His eyes were cloudy, but he had no cane or dog, and it didn't seem to affect how he looked at Montauk. Neither of them spoke. The seconds turned into minutes, and still they didn't say a